Welcome to the Happy Menopause Podcast with me, Jackie Lynch, nutritionist and founder of the Well 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 Nutrition Clinic, where I specialise in women's health and the menopause. There are multiple ways that diet and lifestyle can support you through the challenges of midlife. And my latest book, The Happy Menopause, Smart Nutrition to Help You Flourish, is packed with all my best nutritional advice to help you tailor your diet to your menopause symptoms. Join me and my expert guests on a journey through midlife in this podcast and find out how you can have a healthy and happy menopause. Welcome to my latest best bit, part of my series to celebrate 500,000 downloads for the Happy Menopause podcast, and to give you the chance to catch up on some of the brilliant episodes you may have missed. We're looking back at season 2 for this edition, and we're talking hair. My guest is consultant dermatologist and hair specialist, Dr. Sharon Wong, who's incredibly generous with her advice. I launched the Happy Menopause podcast as a monthly show back in 2019 because I felt so strongly that there wasn't enough information out there about the menopause, and especially not about the role of diet and lifestyle in managing symptoms. Since that time, the menopause has had a lot of exposure in the media, which is a good thing, but I still feel that the nutrition side of things is sorely neglected, and that's why I keep going. I must be doing something right, if so many of you are listening, and I want to say a big thank you to all of you for tuning in. So, on to today's best bit, which features extracts from Season 2, Episode 1, How to Have Great Hair. I chat to Dr. Sharon Wong, a consultant dermatologist who specialises in treating hair and scalp disorders. Get your notebook ready, she's a mine of brilliant information. Let's talk about hair then, because it really is a genuine concern for so many women in midlife. Can you talk us through a little bit of the structure of it, how the body produces it, and what hair is all about?
Yes, absolutely. So if we take the living part of the hair, so as in the hair follicle, which sits as a little mini organ in the skin, at the very bottom, which is the hair bulb, we have these living cells called matrix cells, which divide very rapidly. And when these cells come towards the end of their life, they become compressed and compacted, and they get arranged in these very intricate manners, which eventually form our hair fiber, which emerges out of the scalp. Now, we know that hair growth is not continuous. So it's not a continuous production line, and actually hair growth happens in phases. And we know that because of two observations. First of all, that we can only grow hair to a certain length. It doesn't matter how long you go without seeing your hairdresser. There is a defined length that your hair will grow that is very specific to you as an individual. The second observation is that we all shed hair. We all shed hair on a daily basis, sometimes 50 hairs, up to 100 hairs a day. That is normal. And that's because the old hair is being replaced with a new one. So each of our hair follicles is undergoing this repeated cycle of growth and shed, and it's being replenished each time because there are reservoirs of stem cells. So it's a really intricate, well, you know, coordinated mini organ. And it just goes through this repeated cycle throughout our entire lifespan. So that's the living part.
So we shouldn't be freaking out if we're finding lots of hair in our hairbrush every time we brush it.
No, I think it's important to be in tune with what a normal level of hair shed is. So we shed hair every day, and that is normal hair follicle physiology. But that old hair is being replaced with a new one. So each hair follicle goes through a life cycle. It goes through an anagen phase when the hair fiber is continuously growing. Then it stops for a short pause, which is called catagen. Then it goes into the resting phase called telogen, which normally lasts about 3 months. And then that old hair is shed, and it's because it's being pushed out by a new and emerging hair fiber. So that happens repeatedly. And every one of our hair follicles is doing this cycle independent of its next door neighbor. So it's not like we're like some mammals that just molt all their fur at the same time. We have asynchronized hair growth.
Let's look at midlife then, because obviously that's a concern when so many women who've often had a, you know, thick and shining hair throughout their life suddenly find that it becomes drier and thinner in the late 40s. Mm-hmm. So why is that, Sharon? What's going on?
Well, the first thing to say is it's incredibly common, and I see this a lot in practice. So women in their mid-40s 50s and 60s will often notice dramatic changes to their hair. And it could be that their hair is shedding, the fibers individually are very thin, they've lost volume, they're seeing their scalp show through their hair, or combinations of all the above. And in short, it's very rarely just one thing. And by the time I've finished talking to the patient, I can often pick out certain things in their general health, their nutrition, their hormone status, which will account for those changes that they've noticed in their hair. And I, again, like to think of factors that affect the hair follicle, so the living bit, and factors that are affecting the actual hair fiber. So if you look at just the factors that affect the hair follicle, mid-40s, 50s, around the time of the menopause, there are huge physiological changes which are happening to our hormones. Most importantly is this dramatic decline in natural estrogens and progesterones. And particularly estrogens are hair protective. Mm. They keep our hairs in that anagen growing phase. So when you've got this dramatic decline and withdrawal from the estrogens and progesterones, your hair will start to exit the growing phase rapidly. You can get lots of shedding, generalized hair thinning, and loss of volume. Not just is it to do with the decline in estrogen progesterone, but also proportionately the ratio of male hormones, which we collectively call androgens, rises in menopause. And there are hair follicles in our scalp, predominantly on the crown and at the front, that have receptors that pick up male hormones in our body. And you may have more of these if you have a family history of common balding. So then you might already be genetically primed to being more sensitive. Your hair follicles are more sensitive to picking up these male hormones.
Is it all about genetics, or can women actually proactively do anything to improve the condition of their hair?
Yes, there's absolutely lots that you can do. As I mentioned before, the changes, particularly in midlife, with relation to the porosity of the hair and therefore the dryness, the most important thing is to hydrate and moisturize. Now, hydration and moisturizing are two different things. They're often used interchangeably in articles, and it's not quite right, because hydration literally means to add water, H2O molecules. And the best way of doing that is actually to wash your hair regularly. I have lots of women in the midlife who think, oh gosh, because my hair is really dry, I'm not going to wash it as much. I'm not going to handle it as much because, you know, I'm worried that it will exacerbate, you know, the hair thinning and the hair loss. That's actually the opposite. You need the water through regular washing to actually infuse the hair fibers with water to hydrate them.
What do you mean by regular washing?
So regular washing, I think, is 3 to 4 times a week. It will depend on your hair and scalp type. So some patients have got really greasy scalps and they need daily wash. Generally speaking, in midlife, that's not usually the common problem. It's usually more dry scalp and dry hair. Other people with more afro hair and curly hair types, again, they would probably not wash as frequently as every day. But generally speaking, I think it's going to be about 3 to 4 times a week would be a regular wash. And it is important to do that, to hydrate the actual fibers. But retaining the moisture, retaining the water molecules in the hair fibers is what moisturizing is in hair terms. So you've got the water molecules into the hair fiber. How can we retain them there, especially in midlife when the hair fibers have become more porous over time due to the damage from the cuticles? Moisturizing hair comes from your conditioner, and you would choose ones which are sort of infused with butters, oils, things that really form a nice coat, a seal around the cuticle to try and trap those water molecules and keep them in there. So washing regularly, using a really nice deep conditioning product, but also if you use heat regularly, so blow dries and straightening irons, make sure that you do invest in a good quality hair protecting spray or serum. And the other thing people, I think, tend to forget about is cumulative UV damage. So UV not only can affect your scalp health, but also can start to denature, break down proteins, which of course 90% of your hair is made from protein. And it can also start to change the color, sort of leach the color over time as well. So there are lots of nice sprays and serums these days which have got UV filters. So I think particularly over the summer months, or if you're on holiday, do think about incorporating that into your hair care as well.
Obviously, I come at it all from a nutrition perspective, and you did touch on this earlier, because I know only too well that diet can play a really key role in healthy hair. What would you say are the most important things to focus on here?
A well-balanced diet that spans the spectrum of macro and micronutrients which is good for your general health, is also going to be good for your hair. Now, just let me elaborate on that a little bit more. For example, carbohydrates have had bad reputation, and you know, in more recent years, carb-free diets have been very popular. But your hair follicle cells are some of the fastest dividing in your body. But yet your hair fiber is not really an essential structure. So your body's really clever. If you're depriving your body of nutrition, your body is going to prioritize that to your essential organs and not to your hair. It's going to be like, yeah, we can do without hair. And your hair will suffer as a result of that. So we see a lot of hair shedding with people who are crash dieting or going on carb-free diets. And you need that energy to keep the cell turnover going. And it's about choosing the right types of carbs. So obviously not the carbs that can give you a high sugar spike, like the white rices, the white pastas, but going for slow-release carbs. So swapping those for the brown pastas, brown rices, etc., using vegetables as a source of carbs. Protein is obviously really important because 90% of your hair fiber is made out of protein. And some of the amino acids we can't make from our body, so we have to get them from our diet. And again, things like fats have been demonized over the years as well. But every single cell in our body is coated with a lipid membrane. It's made from fats. And again, it's about the right choices of fats. So staying away from the saturated fat, animal fats, but choosing plant-based fats, omega-3s and 6s, which are good for your skin as well as your hair follicles. Those are super, super important. And I mean, globally, the most common micronutrient deficiencies are iron deficiency. And if you think about the amount of blood loss cumulatively through menstrual losses in your reproductive years, you know, many women do carry, you know, some very low levels of iron storage, and that can have a negative impact on your hair for sure.
Yes, I'd absolutely agree with that. I think iron deficiency anemia is a common concern. And of course, so many women in their late 40s are actually having issues around heavy periods and flooding as they go through the perimenopause. So perhaps they may not have been iron deficient before, but start to become anemic at that point, which of course then is naturally going to tie in with thinning hair. We can spend a lot of money on all this stuff. Is it a matter of you do get what you pay for, or can you get reasonably priced things? Is there anything we should be looking for in terms of certain additives or things to avoid? What's your view, really? How can you help us there?
The hair care industry is massive. I think I came across a very interesting statistic from the Fashion Network, which said that on average, British women spend about £10 billion collectively per year on cosmetic and hair care products.
Oh, my goodness.
And actually, when they broke it down... I know. And when they broke it down, it was about £160 per British woman per year on just hair care products. So these are products that you buy to use at home. That's not including in salon treatments. But there are a lot of really good cosmetic products. So cosmetic products being things that actually improve the manageability and the condition of your hair. And I think hair care routines are unnecessarily complicated sometimes. And I think it's just very confusing for the consumer. In a nutshell, you need a good quality shampoo and conditioner, which in women in midlife, the common problem being thin hair, you're looking for shampoos and conditioners with the buzzwords volumizing or thickening. And basically what that means is that it's loaded with proteins or amino acids and elastins, which can bulk up the hair. So those are the sorts of things that if you've got thinning hair would be quite helpful to use on a regular basis. So shampoo and conditioning, and we mentioned that this should be done frequently. If you are somebody who does use dyes and heat regularly on your hair, I would invest in a good quality hair mask once a week. A bit like if we were just to do like a face mask once a week, it's the same sort of concept for your hair. So you really want to just give it that weekly boost of additional oils and butters and broken down proteins so that they can penetrate into the hair and actually try and repair those cuticles, even if just temporarily. So you would invest in a weekly hair mask, and not forgetting the scalp. I do like to recommend a once a week scalp exfoliator. Again, just like you would exfoliate your facial skin, maybe once a week or so, just to keep the cell turnover healthy, your scalp healthy. So I think those are the things that you should really focus on, but it really does not need to be complicated, nor does it have to be overly expensive. So there are lots of just, you know, off the shelf brands. You know, Kérastase is a really lovely brand, obviously belonging to L'Oreal. With Afro hair, there are lots of black hair brands like Cantu and Sheer Moisture, which are very good quality. And they are very easy on the pocket. So they're not like, you know, the creme de la mer version of for your hair, and very affordable.
There really is nothing like listening to an expert talk about their subject. I learned a lot from Sharon in our chat, and I hope you did too. If you'd like to listen to the full episode, you can find it in Season 2, Episode 1, where there's even more practical advice to help you take the right approach to your hair care. If you're a fan of The Happy Menopause, please tell your friends and family about it. And do give it a 5-star rating and a short review on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you listen on. It makes a huge difference to the algorithms, which influence the visibility of the podcast, so that more women can find the show. Because every woman deserves to have a happy menopause. I'll be back soon with another Best Bits. Thanks so much for listening. Bye for now.